You know, today people have a lot of different ideas. They've got a lot of different opinions about being a Christian, about living the Christian life. If you go and talk to people, even in your workplace, people that you know about what it means to be a Christian or what it means to live the Christian life, they're going to have all sorts of opinions and ideas, and a lot of them are probably going to be negative. But this morning, I want us to focus in on the last part of John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said that I've come that they might have life. But Jesus didn't come just so that people could have life. People already had life. He said, I've come that they might have life. But he said, there's something that I want my followers to have, my sheep to have. He's talking about the shepherd and the sheep. He says, there's something that I want my sheep to have. I want them to have a life more abundantly. If you're a Christian this morning, God says you've got a more blessed life than anybody else on this earth. I hope you know that. I hope you recognize that as a Christian this morning, God has given you, He wants you to have the most blessed life of anybody who's living today. And what I want to take from that concept that as Christians we need to understand we have the most blessed life is I want to take a word that's sort of like the word blessed and a word that maybe you've never associated with being a Christian. But when we leave here today, I want us to be convinced that being a Christian is actually not some kind of a doldrum kind of a life, but being a Christian is a blast. If you're a Christian, have you ever thought about that? If you're a Christian, have you ever thought about, you know, being a Christian's a blast? This is great. Sometimes, again, people have different ideas about what a Christian is. Well, you know, a Christian can't do this and a Christian can't do that. Well, you know, it's kind of boring being a Christian. Hang on. Who are you listening to? What book are you following? God says that He wants us to have a life that's more abundant than anybody else. And that has all sorts of applications. But as Christians, we're blessed. But I want you to think about, can the Christian life really be a blast? Can we have fun at this? Can we enjoy being a Christian? God wanted you to enjoy being a Christian. And there's a number of things that we as Christians get to do that we ought to enjoy doing. Are there things we have to do? Yeah, we're going to talk about some of those this morning. Are there things we have to do? Sure. If you want to look at them as things we have to do, and if you look at them as things you have to do, well, you're not going to have a blast doing them. You won't enjoy doing them. When you were growing up and your mom told you, go clean your room, did you have a blast doing it? No, because you had to do it. So you dragged your feet, maybe you stomped your feet, and maybe you were muttering under your breath and saying all sorts of not nice things about you weren't going to have a blast in cleaning your room because it was something you had to do. As Christians, certainly there's things we have to do, but what if we look at them as not that, but look at them as, wow, look at these blessings that I have from God. The most blessed person on this earth, look at these blessings. Can I have a blast in being a Christian? So what I want to do this morning is I want to take that word blast and just very briefly look at five things. And some of you are going to look at these five things and you're going to say, these are the most fundamental things in all the world. Yep, they are. Most fundamental things for a Christian in all the world. But I want to suggest to you that we can have a blast doing these things. We ought to have a blast in being a Christian. We can have a blast in doing these things as a Christian to help us to be faithful in serving the Lord. Number one, we can have a blast in building up our faith. We have a responsibility. It's something we have to do. But we ought to have a blast in doing that. What's involved in that? Number one is studying the Bible. Studying the Bible ought to be fun for us. It ought to be something that is enjoyable for us to do. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, he said, I love thy law, it's my meditation all the day. Do we have that? Do we love God's Word so much that we dig in and we enjoy studying it personally? Saying, I want to know more. Doing it daily and doing it joyfully. We ought to love studying the Bible. Some of you have made comments over the years about how much you've dug into a certain study of some book and how much you've learned from it. And you've talked about how fun it is just to open the Bible, not because you have to do it, but because you want to do it. And how much joy comes from that. How do we build a strong faith? We study the Bible. How do we build a strong faith? We talk to God. Not because we have to, Because we want to. Where we continue earnestly in prayer, Colossians 4 and verse 2 says. Where we do that with great anticipation. Not that, well, I've got to talk to God today. Oh, okay, well, what am I going to say? Not because I have to, because I want to. Because I find joy in spending time not only allowing Him to speak to me through His Word, but Him allowing me to approach His throne, to talk to Him directly, to not have to go to some other man on this earth to talk to Him to get to God, but to have direct access to the very throne of God. That ought to bring me joy as a Christian. What helps me to have a stronger faith? Just living the life. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. I ought to find joy in doing that. And as I live what I find in the Bible, I study the Bible, and then I live that out, that helps me to build a stronger faith, because then it's not just somebody else's faith that I'm mimicking, it's becoming my own faith. And that ought to bring me joy. To know that here I am, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12 talks about living a life that's honorable among the Gentiles. Not because I have to, but because back up earlier in the chapter, verses 9 and 10, God says, because I've chosen you. And because you're special to me. And you belong to me. And when I realize the special relationship I have with God, that ought to make me be full of joy. Christian life. Is it a blast for you? Do you enjoy building up your faith? Do you enjoy being a Christian? God wants us to have a blast in serving Him and in being a Christian. Number two, not only should we have a blast in building up our faith, here's something that's important, especially for our young people, but not just for our young people. And that is that we ought to have a blast in who we choose to be our friends. And we ought to latch on to godly friends. We ought to find those individuals who are walking the walk and talking the talk, and we ought to latch on to them and say, those are the people that I want to build close associations with, close friendships with. And if we're honest, we're going to recognize the influence that our associates have on us. People we hang around have an influence on us. And if we don't believe that, if we say, no, that's not the case, well, then we miss the first part of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. First part of that verse says, be not deceived. If we say, oh, no, people don't really have that much of an influence on me when I hang around them, God says, you're fooling yourself. You've been deceived. The rest of that verse says, bad company corrupts good morals. And so we've got to back away and say, okay, I recognize that when I'm hanging around certain individuals, they influence my behavior. They influence who I am and what I do. And so what I need to do with that is I need to refuse to associate with certain people that are going to lead me in the wrong direction. Even after God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and as He continued to give them various commandments. By the way, the Jews didn't just have Ten Commandments. Go back and read the law of Moses. They didn't just have 10 commandments. They had 613 commandments in the law of Moses. Yes, somebody counted them. So as God continues to lay out these laws for them in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, God says, don't follow a crowd to do evil. Recognize there's people that, well, this is what the majority might be doing. This is what everybody else is doing. Okay, big deal, that's what everybody else is doing. If it's not right, then don't go and do it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1 and verse 1 says. So I've got to recognize people have an influence on me. When I recognize that, I need to make sure that I don't associate with people that are going to lead me in the wrong direction. And then Proverbs 12 and verse 26, I need to choose the right friends. I need to choose, that verse says, the righteous shall choose his friends wisely. I need to look for those individuals that are going to help me walk the walk and talk the talk. I need to look for those individuals who are going to help me see being a Christian as something that ought to be a blast. I ought to look for those people that are going to help me to see being a Christian as something that's full of joy. If I'm hanging around people that see being a Christian as something that, oh, that's kind of boring. I don't need to be around them. If I'm hanging around people that look at being a Christian, well, that's adultery. Oh, you have to do that. You got to. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, man, that's kind of lousy to be a Christian. I don't need to be around those kind of people. I need to choose my friends wisely. Latch on to godly friends, and that will help my life as a Christian to be a blast. Number three, how can I have a blast in being a Christian? How can I live a Christian life and look at it as something that's full of joy? What do I need to do? Number three, I need to assemble every week, and I need to actively worship with the church every week. Worshiping God ought to be a blast. Worshiping God ought to be fun. It's not something I have to, I got to get up this morning and go to worship. No, I don't got to do that. I get to do that. Today I get to go and worship the God who made me. Today I get to go and worship the Savior who died for me. That ought to fill my heart with so much joy that I make it a priority. That I have it set apart, that is the highlight of my week. You know that verse in Matthew 6, verse 33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Part of that is first day of the week worship. That I make this the most important part of my week. And I ought to find joy in doing that. When I come to worship, I don't just need to sit in the pew. I don't just need to fill out a card and say, okay, I was here, I was present. Oh, I need to engage in the worship. And I need to do it heartily. Psalm 111 and verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." In the rest of that verse says, not that Psalm 111 and verse 1 is not just talking about what I do in my home. Sure, I can worship at home. But that's not what Psalm 111 verse 1 is, and that's not what we're talking about here. He says there in Psalm 111 verse 1 that I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the saints. It's talking about gathering together and being with one another. And that's why we're talking about here the assembling of the church together, not just worshiping. You know, we worship for a number of weeks from home, but that wasn't the assembly. And that's why the Bible uses that special word to talk about what we do here. So I need to assemble. That's part one. But then when I'm here, I need to actively engage, heartily engage in the worship. And that's why in like Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, it says singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. That's where worship begins. That's where worship has its meaning, is when my heart is engaged. When I gather around this table and I meditate, when I seriously and honestly and personally meditate on the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 29 talks about when I discern the Lord's body. When I partake of that bread and I partake of that fruit of the vine and I remember what He did for me. That needs to be a priority. That needs to be what sets the tone for the rest of my week. And so I'm engaging, I'm actively engaging. And then here's something for you. Have you ever thought about investing in a sermon? I would urge you, when you come together to worship, to invest yourself in the sermon. All of you have been doing this. I've been watching you. All of you have been doing this for the last hour and a half for this sermon. Or has it been 2.5 hours yet on this sermon? I've been watching. You've been investing yourself. When it comes time to study God's Word, it's not just the preacher that's standing up here talking because that's what the church pays him to do. It's the opportunity for God to speak to us through His Word and for us to grab a hold of what God has to say and invest ourselves in what's being said. Those Christians in Acts chapter 17, it doesn't just say that they were taking the Word of God and that they were checking to see if what Paul was preaching was really what the Word of God said. That's part of investing yourself in the sermon, is to listen to what's being said and to check what's being said to make sure what's being said is true. But before that, it says, they received the word with all readiness. They were eager to hear the word being presented. They invested themselves in the sermon. In other words, those early Christians, they were taking notes. Some of you do that. That's a good practice. Taking notes in the sermon, following along, and then leaving from that sermon saying, how can I apply that to my life? Not just investing yourself for 35 minutes in a sermon, but investing yourself to say, how can I take that lesson and apply it right now in my life? Being a Christian ought to be a blast. Coming together and assembling and actively worshiping together, it ought to be a blast. I ought to find joy in doing this. Not, oh man, this sermon's just going on and on. But saying, how can I find more in this? How can I find more in this worship to devote myself and to find joy in being a Christian? What else do I find joy in as a Christian? What else is a blast about being a Christian? Number four, serving others. Serving others, especially in the church. That ought to be a blast. That ought to be something that we find great joy in doing. And instead of sitting back and waiting for somebody else to come and serve me, I need to go out and see how I can serve others and make a difference in their lives. I mean, the golden rule, and that's what Matthew 7 verse 12 has. We call it the golden rule. Jesus didn't use those words, but our paraphrase of it is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But sometimes we have the mentality, do unto others when they do unto me. When somebody else does, then I will do unto them. Jesus didn't say, do unto others when they do unto you. Jesus said, do unto others. That's the verb. That's the action. As you would have them do to you. There's the measuring stick. But the point is, Jesus says, go and do unto others. And do that with a heart of joy. Not something because I've got to do it, but to do something because I have, but not because I've got to do it, because I want to do it, because I find joy in doing it. And even Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 25, look for people that would maybe either least expect it, or more specifically in Matthew 25, look for those who might be considered those who would not be seen by others. Jesus talked about them as the least of these, my brethren. People that might naturally be overlooked in the church, Jesus says, don't overlook them. Some people might be the least likely to be served in the church, and those are the people I need to go and see. How can I help them? How can I live my life looking for opportunities, not sitting back and waiting for them to come knocking on the door, but how can I live my life? And that's what we've talked about this month, and seeing opportunities as God sees them, trying to see how can I make a difference. How can I, no matter what my age is, how can I make a difference? You know, some of the comments that are made by members of this church, that have been made by members of this church over the years, some of the comments that have been expressed about how excited somebody was about what somebody else in the church did for them is when some young person does something to help out some older person in the church. And it's that older person that then calls everybody they know and says, did you know what so-and-so did? You know what this person, you know what this young person did for me in the church? It all of a sudden just reverberates throughout the church because here's somebody that it didn't matter what age they were. They found an opportunity to serve. And I would encourage you, no matter what age you are, to get a church directory, keep it handy, and use it. I don't know if Paul had a church directory from the church in Rome or not. I don't think so, because that would have been an interesting thing to have from the church in Rome when he had never been there. But when you read Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 16, he calls out 26 people. At the end of this book, he says, greet this person, greet this person, greet this person, greet this person. He calls out 26 people, says, I send greetings to them. To me, he's just calling names out of a church directory. We've got a church directory today. How often do we pull it out and reach out and touch someone? Pull it out and greet somebody and call and check on them. That's not something, well, is it something we have to do? Sure, you can look at it as a commandment from God if you want to. But it ought to be something that I look at and say, this is what I want to do. I find great joy, not in waiting for others to serve me, but find joy in serving. That ought to be a blast for us as Christians. Finally, What can I find a blast in doing as a Christian? I need to find great joy in teaching others the gospel. That's not something I just have to, that's not just the Great Commission, not just the Lord committing us at the end of His life, go and teach everybody, and now, okay, I've got to do it because He told me, I ought to find great joy in doing that. In fact, those of you who have sat down across the table from somebody and have taken your Bible and their Bible and you've studied the Bible with them, you've walked away from that. You've been on fire for the Lord when you've walked away from that, and your heart has just been filled with great anticipation for an opportunity to go and do it again. There is nothing like teaching somebody the gospel. Can I encourage you to set a goal for yourself? A small goal. I think it's a small goal. Teach one person the gospel every year. Here comes a year. Who can I teach the gospel to? And just teach one person every year. You might think that's a big goal. We've got 365 days in a year. Can I teach just one person what they need to do to become a Christian? When Aquila and Priscilla, the other couple in the book of Acts, when Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18 heard that there was a man named Apollos who was not preaching right about Jesus, they took him aside and taught the way of the Lord more perfectly to him. That's what we need to do. See opportunities and say, that's the person that I'm going to teach the gospel to, and I'm not going to wait for another opportunity. I'm going to teach them right now. And just be unashamed of who we are. Be unashamed when I'm around that I'm a Christian. And I'm ashamed to talk to you about being a Christian. And as I'm going about my life, just planting seeds of truth wherever I go, to be that sower in Matthew chapter 13 that did not choose which soil he was going to cast the seed of God's word on. He just cast that seed everywhere he went to see where there might be some good soil. You may not know who you might teach the gospel to later this year. It may be that you're just living the Christian life. It may be that you're scattering seeds, that you're giving them materials. Maybe it's a physical thing that you give them, some printed piece of material that we've got here from the church. Maybe it's some virtual thing where you're sending them something, you're posting something online, and you're just planting seeds, and you're looking for that good soil to make itself known. And you say, that's the person. Somebody who asks a question, somebody who likes something you said, somebody who comments on what, and all of a sudden they have set themselves up for you as somebody, that's who I want to teach the gospel to. Teaching the gospel should not be for us something, well, it's what I've got to do, all right, I guess I'll go and find somebody to teach. No, 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 no. Teaching the gospel for us, it ought to be a blast. It really should. When you look at your life as a Christian, there's going to be some people who tell you, oh, that's the most boring life on the face of this earth. And that's maybe somebody's opinion. But Jesus said in John chapter 10 that He'd come so that we could have the most blessed life on this earth. And is it possible as a Christian that I can have a blast in serving the Lord? If you are of the opinion that being a faithful Christian is not a blast, if you don't think that being a faithful Christian is a blast, I want to challenge you this morning. Change your thinking. If you don't think it's a blast, it's probably because you haven't been trying it. Maybe you haven't been living it right. I challenge you this morning, let's try again. Let's see if we can make being a Christian the way God wanted it to be, to find it to be full of joy. Maybe it's because we really haven't given it a chance, that we really haven't put our best foot forward. Maybe it's because we really haven't tried to find the joy of being a Christian. Can I challenge you this morning, if that's where you are, try again. Let's find joy in being a Christian. Maybe if you don't think being a Christian is a blast, it's because you've been listening to the wrong people. Maybe it's because you've been listening to the people say, oh man, that's the most boring. No, you can't do this. I challenge you, try again. Start listening to the right people. Start hanging around different people. And let's see if together we cannot have a renewed joy in being a Christian today. Question for you this morning is, as we think about how to be a Christian and how to have a blast in being a Christian, question for you this morning is, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian today? Right now, here today, are you a faithful Christian? The Bible teaches us, in order to become a Christian, that we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. And with that faith in our heart, there's a determination that we want to repent. That means turn away from the wrong that we're doing, turn away from the sin that we're committing. Say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to turn my life in the direction of God. If that's where you are this morning, if you've got a faith in your heart and a determination in your mind that I'm ready to serve the Lord, I'm ready to turn away from sin, then this day you can do what they did in the New Testament. Not what some church would teach you to do, but what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized. Be baptized just like they were in the New Testament for the exact reason that they were baptized in the New Testament, so that you can have the forgiveness of every single one of your sins, so that God can add you to His church and God can register your name in heaven. If you've never been baptized so that that can happen, we urge you to do that today. There's water here, there's garments and towels here. Everything is ready. In fact, we're going to sing a song that says that. All things are ready. Question is, are you? You can do exactly what Trinity did on Monday. You can do it right now and give your life to the Lord. And once you do that, the Lord asks of us to just be faithful in our service to Him. Be faithful unto death. He'll give us a crown of life. If as a child of God that hasn't been you, if you have wandered away, and you haven't been living that faithful life, we urge you this morning to come back, to get your life right with the Lord this day. And let's leave here today, and let's have a blast in being a Christian and allow others to see that in our lives today. If you need to get your life right with the Lord, come right now as together we stand and sing.